So your talk was really great. Definitely emphasis on the topic of repentance. What made you decide to go into repentance?
When I was asked to speak, I was quickly told that it was open, that I could choose the topic that I wanted to emphasize, or and repentance is just something that has been on my mind for a long time as a topic. I came to the university about 11 years ago, and it didn't take very long to realize that at one point I was going to be asked to speak, and I just didn't want it to come soon. But so I'm glad it's taken all this time. But early on, I thought that repentance would be one of those topics that I would probably want to talk about, mainly because it is an important principle in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is something that normally we leave up to priesthood leaders to talk about. Others don't necessarily want to touch that topic. And yet, it is a topic filled with hope, with love. It is a gift from the atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thought that there's a very positive side to repentance.
Yeah, I like what you said, how sometimes we leave it to our priesthood leaders to talk about repentance. Because as I was reading through your talk, I didn't feel, I mean, granted, we all need to repent, right? But I didn't feel uncomfortable going through it. Does that make sense? I feel like sometimes when we talk about repentance, we shift in our seats a little bit and we're like, oh, yeah, repentance. Like, I forget, I'm imperfect. I was really impressed with how natural it felt. And you bring up, there's two, I guess, emphases in your topic, and I don't want to give too much away, but you focus on a true disciple repents and follows daily. And then you also say a true disciple invites others to repent as guided by the Spirit. Do you feel that you need to have the first one before you have the second one, or are those interchangeable?
That's a very good question, Miles. I kind of wrestle with that, but I feel like if we waited until we were completely fine ourselves, then we would probably never invite anybody else ever to make changes or to repent or improve their lives, because we would always feel, well, we're not there yet ourselves, so why should I even ask anybody else? In that case, the work would all fall back to just the Savior to do it. But it seems like, from understanding the scriptures, it seems like Heavenly Father still went ahead and called imperfect people to charge them with the responsibility to invite others to repent. So it seems like almost all of us have that dual responsibility to do better ourselves, and then also to kind of extend the hand of fellowship and bring along others with us. And hopefully we're doing it in a way that that others recognize that we're also making our own efforts.
Yeah, no, that's great. So towards the end, you use a lot of resources in your talk, which is always helpful. But I thought it was really interesting. You're using this video that you said was put together locally, I guess. Would you be willing to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm very excited about that video. It's the result of the long hours and work of many in the audiovisual department, and with the help of university relations and just others who voluntarily kind of signed on to participate in the project. Well, it's a production, it's a video, it's a short video. And it highlights an episode in the life of the Apostle John, in which he basically reaches out to a young person. And in these days, when we talk about ministering to others and so forth, it's just a tender story of being watchful from the distance. But then, when things go not so well, then to be a little more intervening, I suppose, and to be able to capture this story in a short film. It's really a wonderful effort on the part of everyone who participated. I should say, however, this story is not very well known, simply because it's not scriptural. Mm-hmm. It's a story recorded after the time of the scriptures, and it is still well regarded by Christians everywhere because they attribute to others who continue to keep records and stories of the apostles in a way that we can't quite corroborate or be sure that in fact it happened. So we don't base it so much on the historicity or the reliability that it actually happened. We're mostly going for the story because of the moral teaching that it portrays. But it's a beautiful, tender story. Whether it happened or it didn't happen, at this point, for the purpose I'm using it, it becomes a little irrelevant whether it happened or not. It's the teaching that it portrays that really we value and we want to highlight.
Yeah, that's great. So it's not necessarily... So what you're saying is it's not necessarily about the foundation of whether or not this happened. It's the principle behind it is what you're saying.
That's absolutely
that we should take from this video.
Yeah, it's a, you could take it as an allegory, as a parable. I mean, so many of our teachings that we have, they're not necessarily events that happen, but they make a point. And this story, which it's called a narrative of John the Apostle, is precisely that.
Wow. Well, that's exciting. Was this something, as you were preparing your talk, you approached the AV department and you said, is there a way we can recreate this? Or was this something they were already working on? And you said, oh, I'd love to include that into my devotional address.
Very good question, Miles. Actually, it's interesting how this developed. I had in mind to probably just invite a student to read the story.
Okay.
Right standing next to me at the pulpit. But as I talked about the story with those who pretty much I needed to talk to about devotional, in an organic way, it kind of, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden there were ideas and some resources available and the time. A lot of things kind of came together, and there was the recommendation that maybe this is too good of a story to just simply have someone narrate it or share it, but to actually put it into a more artful way.
Yeah.
And give the opportunity to some students who actually would benefit from it, those who are either doing an internship or are practically involved in different aspects of a video production, they would benefit. So it ended up involving close to 40 to 50 people.
Wow.
Yeah, it became something that I didn't really think about from the beginning, but it's become something wonderful that I'm very grateful for.
Oh, that's really exciting. Can't wait to see it. Going back to what you were saying about how you felt that repentance was a topic that was on your mind for a while, did you feel, as you, you know, tidied everything up to completely give this at devotional, did you feel like you learned something from this experience, or was this rather just a broadening of your understanding of it, if that question makes sense?
Sure. I think this talk, the fact that, you know, you're asked to do this, and then repentance itself is a very broad topic, and being able to bring it to so many minutes, you have to review several drafts in preparing, and it helps fine-tune exactly the message that you would like to convey. Mm-hmm. So it is a learning process, even for me as a speaker. I've learned quite a bit. There's so many quotes and material that I read, that I prepared, that at some point I just simply had to leave out. Yeah. But it's taught me. It's helped me in many other ways to appreciate and understand better this fabulous principle of the gospel, and to achieve and reach a greater appreciation of the atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As disciples that we're trying to be and to become more like Christ, it feels like one thing I learned personally is that repentance is the one way to make mistakes and come back, especially when we're faced with the daunting invitation to become like the Savior.
Yeah.
And obviously that we're so far away. I'm so far away from that. And it seems like that gift of repentance is what allows us to more and more to be able to grow into that attribute and personality of the Savior, that the Savior embodies. And I think for me personally, that's mostly what I learned.
Great answer. Thanks. So the discussion board, have you been able to go through some of the answers that have been posted as part of that?
I've absolutely enjoyed. I'm enjoying looking at the answers and the posts from the students. I've been personally overwhelmed by the insightful and inspirational comments. Some are experiences, others are just straightforward personal comments.
Mm-hmm.
Very insightful. I felt like I needed to almost reply to everyone.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was getting into something bigger than I intended to, but I'm doing that. And I feel like whoever came up with the idea of discussion boards for devotional, like on doing this prior to the devotional, leading up to devotional, just an amazing way to utilize the learning model and to learn from one another, to be edified from one another, which is what this university is all about. I've been fascinated by being part of it.
Yeah. I know you said that you wanted to respond to just about every one of them. Were there, but I know that in your talk, you address a couple of responses. Were there other responses that you wanted to include but maybe you just couldn't just because of the timing with your talk?
Just logistically, it doesn't make it possible to include. There are several posts that I think I would if this was happening down the road, I would love to use them.
Mm-hmm.
There is one post that I can think of where there is even a graph, a Y and X type, X and Y
wow.
kind of graph, graphing repentance and graph in a way that the that explains and makes an amazing point regarding the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And other very insightful comments. You know, you would think that I'm here in Rexburg, and yet the comments are coming from Guyana, they're mm-hmm. coming from Ghana, they're coming from other parts of the world, and that's an amazing way to integrate BYU Idaho and BYU Pathway students from throughout the world. It's I really like it.
Oh, that's exciting. Brother Castro, is there anything else that you'd like to add prior to us hearing you speak at devotional?
Well, it is. I have to tell you, it isn't something I would probably wanted to, I would have chosen to involve myself into, but having accepted the invitation, I'm grateful that I have. It has invited me to step up in many ways, and it is exciting. It's a little nerve-wracking too for me, but what a great opportunity. I wish it will be available to so many others, but extremely grateful for the opportunity. Thank you, Miles, for this interview as well.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Brother Castro will be speaking at a devotional this Tuesday. He'll be talking about, remind me the title of your talk, is it Repentance, a Disciples...
A Disciples Pattern for Eternal Progression.
Perfect. And you'll be able to hear that live on 94.3 and 91.5 on BYU Idaho Radio. Thanks again, Brother Castro.